This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. In the last year, there have been more and more stories about solar energy as the Earth needs to do something about climate change, and renewable energies would seem to be a way for us to fight against climate change by getting a lot of that carbon dioxide out of the air, or at least some of the gases that are creating climate change that we are creating. We can lessen them by using renewable energies like solar and wind power. And it is solar power that seems to have been really on the move and maybe now is on the brink of becoming big time. Well, that's at least what my next guest hopes. His name is Neville Williams. He used to be a consultant for the U.S. Department of Energy and is the author of a brand new book called Sun Power. Neville, welcome to America Weekend.
Yes, good morning, Paul. Thank you.
Where are we on solar power? Are we on the cusp?
Well, we really are, and I've been around this business for nearly 30 years and never dreamed I'd really see it take off like it has, largely because the prices have fallen 75% since 2008, as Paul Krugman pointed out in a story last week in the New York Times. So we're now down to a point literally in the last year, last 6 months, where solar power is cheaper than gas, coal, or wind power per kilowatt hour or per megawatt hour. And I didn't think I'd ever see that, but here we go, and it's economics that's really driving it. Not so much, you know, while you said it well, we have to do something about the 38 billion tons of carbon we put in the atmosphere every year worldwide. We're really not going to do it, I don't think, because of political will or policies. I think we're going to do it because this technology is turning out to be the cheapest form of energy.
Okay, so why haven't we done it until now?
Well, the prices were high. America has cheap power relative to the rest of the world. Germany is doing it. Last year in Germany, one particular day, they got 59% of their power nationally from wind and solar, if you could imagine that. This is a country that's always cloudy whenever I've been there. So this country isn't there yet. Politically, that they did it for political reasons. They have an environmental consciousness we don't seem to have politically. But as I said, economics is driving it now, not climate change or environment. And that's good because we get to the same place.
You know, you talk about economics and politics, and whenever those clash, we can have trouble. For instance, in Oklahoma, there's a bill that has passed both the House and the Senate there, in which the governor, Mary Fallon, says that she will sign, which essentially is going to put a tax on people who produce their own energy through solar panels or small wind turbines,
right,
because they're feeding it back down into the grid and,
right,
I guess, getting credit for the energy that they are contributing to the grid outside of their own house.
Right.
Is this,
well,
the sort of thing that is being pushed by fossil fuel concerns who feel threatened?
Absolutely. The Koch brothers are behind a thing called ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council. They have model legislation in front of 50 legislatures saying stop these people from putting solar into the grid. I mean, I don't know whether it's stupidity or evil or greed, but it's pretty nasty. But the point this is, right, and they're losing a lot of these battles in these states. People aren't so stupid. But I think what this shows is that solar's so successful, we're finally getting a pushback from the fossil fuel industry and the utility industry. Frankly, utilities are scared because solar in some states is making such a huge dent as people produce their own power. States like Florida have pushed back for 30 years. It's not the sunshine state where I live. I wish it were. But other states are changing. Georgia's changing. And, yes, Oklahoma may do that, but other states have not had success with that legislation. But we're seeing it's a threat to the utilities, which means that's how successful solar is. The utilities are going to embrace it because, again, it's economics.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Why don't the utilities embrace it and go solar themselves?
Well, some do. We have 550 utilities in this country. On the side, I'm doing some work in New Mexico with a partner. We take a commission developing projects for rural electric cooperatives, which are buying power from us. We're selling it at 7 cents a kilowatt hour, which is unbelievable. And they're buying it. And, of course, big utilities are doing it. Solar power, even in Florida, the utility has put in huge amounts of solar, but they control it. They just don't want everybody putting it on their rooftops willy-nilly for fear of overpowering the grid. And in some cases, it's legitimate engineering concerns. Mostly it's not. It's largely just they don't want to have people buying kilowatt hours from someone else besides themselves. So, But the book also talks about a positive role in the world, which is that solar in the third world, where people have no electricity, is something I worked on for many, many years and talk about it in this book, is bringing solar power to people who have no electricity.
Tell me about your experiences in that realm.
Well, you know, it was a lot of fun. We said, hey, maybe 2 billion people in the world with electricity, and imagine the world, our world couldn't function without electricity, which we've had for 125 years out of thousands of years of human civilization, but there's parts of the world that still don't have it. And the cheapest way for them to get it, we discovered almost 20 years ago, was small solar panels, a battery, some lights. They can watch a black and white television. And that's revolutionizing rural areas in the third world. They're skipping the grid stage and going straight to solar. So we're seeing that huge in lots of countries. And that's good news, as well as it is Americans. I also started a company in America, which I talk about. I'm out of it now. It's called Standard Solar in Maryland, and we put solar on rooftops. The idea is, if you know, one rooftop at a time, just like in the third world, can really change the world, and it is happening big time in California. Companies like Solar City, but our company did really well right out of the block when solar was expensive. The phone never stopped ringing. Washington area people, Maryland, Virginia, they wanted to put solar on their houses, rooftops. They didn't know who to call, so we set up a company to do that, and I talk about the entrepreneurial opportunities such as that in this book, because I think for young people, this is the future. They can get into this business. It's exploding.
If the market is exploding and there are more and more people who are going to want this and more companies that are going to be in the installation business as you were,
right.
What about the supplier side? Is the U.S. at least doing that well?
Well, that's a very good question. Actually, no. The installation business is where the profits are and where the jobs are in America, 143,000 jobs in America, but very little manufacturing anymore because China just took it over. And let's face it, you know, if you have an iPhone, it was made in China. If you have a television, it was made in China, right?
Yep.
And that's just a fact of life. It's an amazing fact to me because I was working in Western China many years ago when it was still people were still wearing Mao suits. We were electrifying villages in Western Gansu, and I never thought who would have believed China could change so fast and do what it's done. But it has, fact of life, and they are producing solar panels 75% cheaper than the American companies were making them 10 years ago. So that's where most of the supply comes from. There's, the usual problems with so many companies. There's, you know, like when there were lots of computer companies, some went out of business, some succeeded, but they keep making it. And so that's largely where the supply, also Japan and Korea. Germany's producing a lot, but it's still too expensive. They can't compete with China.
I know the answer to this probably varies by region of the country, but give me an estimate of what it would cost one of our listeners. They have, you know, a 2 or 3 bedroom home, and they think, well, okay, solar's cheap now. I want to put it on my house. How much is it going to cost them, and how long before they recoup that cost?
Well, that's a good question, and it's come down amazingly. We were selling 6 and 8 kilowatt systems for houses. We thought we wouldn't sell them bigger than 2 or 3 kilowatt, and everybody wanted 6, 8, 10 kilowatts so they'd have a lot of power, because Americans use a lot of power in our houses with all the electronics and so on. They were going $40,000-$50,000. You can get the same system now for $15,000 to $20,000, and there's a 30% federal tax credit for 2 more years to run, and that means the 30% cash back from off your taxes. And it also, many states have grants, many utilities have grants, many counties have grants and various incentive programs. So you can get it down cheap. And the other thing is, many companies have leasing programs or they have finance programs. So it's pretty painless. And now at the cost of per kilowatt hour, you can look at a 3 to 4 year return, where in the past it was 7 to 10 year return. Remember, these are going to make power for 25 years. So if it pays back in 5, you got 20 years of free power. And who knows what the price of the grid power will be. Your utility bills are going to go up for sure, but you know these bills can't go up because you paid for it.
Plus, it probably increases the value of your home.
Well, you know, that's been proven by real estate studies. It really does, especially in California where it's so common now. It really does. You know, people will buy a house and say, oh, you know, this is already installed, that, and you paid for it, and it's going to make power for me for free. Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's, we're not seeing the level of Germany yet because it's still an unknown. And I think the reason I wrote this book was to educate people, and because people are all interested. 92% of Americans want to use more solar power, but people don't know much about it.
Yep.
But it's local installers that do the work. It's not national companies, but you can get Home Depot's getting into it.
Once you get the big box stores involved, I think that might be the way that it really starts to take off. I'm interested in seeing what else you have inside the book, which is called Sun Power by Neville Williams, former consultant for the U.S. Department of Energy. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Yeah, you asked a good question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.